Workies, welcome back to another episode of hopefully your favorite horror movie podcast.
Yeah.
I got Gavin today.
Hello.
And we are doing The Voices, 2015 movie starring Ryan Reynolds. This comes in as another listener suggestion from Renee. Thank you, Renee. I have a girlfriend again. Thank you, Sporkies. Bye. That's
Official
announcement.
He told the Sporkies before he told all his friends.
That's not true. That's not true. That's just not true. Either way. The Voices starring Ryan Reynolds, he has done it again, another horror movie for some reason. And by that I mean he did an Amityville movie, if you're not aware. And this movie is significantly better. And I don't even have to watch that one to know that this one is significantly better.
He puts the horror in a horrible. Got him. Idiot. Mint Mobile sucks.
He's also the owner of Wrexham FC. Congratulations to, I'm sure they've done something recently, right?
You're not hot, Ryan. God.
Come on. You're just saying that because he's married to Blake Lively.
She's hot.
Yeah. They're funny on social media. Haha, the perfect couple.
They're so they're so quirky.
Quirky, fun, not at all, a little corny. Just a Hollywood power couple, you know?
It's them and then Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Yeah, that's it.
They're the only two celebrity couples I'll ever care about.
Or even pay attention to a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so we're doing The Voices. Pre-spoilers, didn't hate it. I hate parts of it. I like it as a whole. It does something that isn't good for mental health as a whole, but you know what movie hasn't at this rate?
Yeah, that's a good point.
There is a 2020 remake. I believe it to be a remake. It's one of us watched the wrong one first. I won't name names.
Okay. I wasn't going to touch on this. But Dan says we're watching The Voices. I'm like, okay. I look it up. I'm not clicking the one that has Ryan Reynolds in a pink jumpsuit as the poster. Why would I think that that's the one we're watching?
Mind you, I told Gavin we were doing The Voices like 5 days ago and said the 2015 one, and he just never replied. So I don't think it's my fault.
Yeah.
Per se.
I did watch The Voices.
He watched a lot of Voices, unfortunately.
But they're all bad, so it doesn't matter which one I watch.
Like I said, I believe the 2021 to be a remake of this one. I didn't watch it. I just read its description, and based on its description, it seems to be the thing. That's what it is. I think that movie out and out confirms that the mental diagnosis is schizophrenia. This movie never specifies. It's pretty obvious, but it doesn't specifically say. I don't believe. But
it's not quite as funny as this one.
Yeah, no, the other one also tries to be, like, serious, I believe. Yeah. This one's listed as horror comedy. And I don't think it's too horror. It just has murder in it.
It's got some blood, some gore. You don't really see too much, but, I mean,
nasty gore.
I would consider it more of, like, a thriller.
Thriller's more accurate. Some haunting moments.
Yeah.
In theory. We also get Anna Kendrick's, so it's really an interesting cast and crew. Because who was it? It was her, Ryan Reynolds. We get Gemma Arterton, who did Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters the year before this movie.
Hell yeah.
Another movie I never watched. And honestly, that's kind of it for big names. I just don't recognize any of these other people. So,
Have you ever seen Stranger Than Fiction with Will Ferrell? It has that a similar vibe, like both of those movies where the idea was like, wow, super cool, thought-provoking idea. And then you watch it and you're like, it probably should have stayed in the drafts. We didn't really need to see it visualized. We could have just left it where it was. But Stranger Than Fiction is like, it's kind of like schizophrenic undertones, but, you know, sorry, spoilers, it's not a horror, so we're not going to review it. Will Ferrell ends up actually being controlled by this lady reading a book, or writing a book, rather than, like, he thought it was his imagination, but he's actually being controlled in real time by this lady who's writing a book. So it's like, but the way the stories go and how it's, the main characters are perceived as very similar. So if anybody's seen that movie, feel free to agree, disagree. I'd love to hear what you say about that. I love that movie, even though I just said it's bad. I just love Will Ferrell. But
oh, that reminds me, because he said reach out to us. Announcement, we're actually getting stickers. I officially ordered stickers. I know. Thank you. Thank you. They are coming. They will be here Wednesday. And I think at the start of next episode, I will specify on how you can get a sticker for free. Ooh. So be on the lookout or the listen out, whatever, you know. Be ears open. Be ready. Stickers officially. And just a reminder, all four of us will be at the Monster Horror Con.
Monster Mania.
Thank you. Monster Mania next Saturday, April 15th. We're going to get there pre-admission, 9 a.m. I don't know how late we'll be there. I see it runs from like 10 to 6, basically. I don't think we'll be there until 6. I don't know how it goes. Gavin's been to one before. I haven't. Yes. This is the big one that they do, so it, like, a lot of people are going to be there. I saw William Shatner was going to be there. What's his name?
Jason X is going to be in costume.
Jason X is in costume for $135. You can get a picture with him.
Hell yeah.
They're going to have the Terrifier clowns from Terrifier 2 that I'm going to drop on site as soon as I see them, if I were to see them in costume and makeup. Maybe after, probably after I piss myself.
If a single individual recognizes us and says hello,
I'm going to have stickers on me. So if you do, for whatever reason, decide, like, hey, that's Bloody Spork. Sticker. You get a sticker. That's simple. You get a sticker and a kiss from Gavin. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
not a kiss. He's just going to blow you a kiss, but a kiss nonetheless.
Only if it's consensual.
There you go. See? Thank you. Yeah, so I should have started with those two announcements, but whatever. You're still here, hopefully, 7 minutes in.
Right.
Regardless.
Only the real Sporkies get the announcements.
That's true. Only the Sporkiest of Sporks are hearing announcements at this rate. But we'll talk about the movie, I suppose.
We don't really do that, Dan. We don't really... On our episodes, we don't really talk about the movie.
What do you want us to do? Think about the movie? Ain't nothing to talk
about. I don't perceive.
The movies we watch, I don't interpret. I just try to memorize the plot, and then, you know, that's about it. Regardless.
And then goof on them.
Yeah. New boot goofing all over the voices. The comedy comes by way of two voiced animals. He's got two pets in the movie. That's what I wanted to look up was their voice actors.
It's just Ryan Reynolds.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. That's right. I forget. It's true. Because
there's the scene where he's just talking into the mirror as the dog.
Right. All right. Before we get too into it, commit to the bit. Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think this movie got critically?
There's even enough scores to give it a rating.
It actually has 99 reviews, and I'll tell you right now, it's probably higher than you think.
Okay, so then it's like a 70.
Sorry. I gotta remember our ongoing Spork dictionary. Close, but not super close, but higher.
What? Okay. Like 82? Yeah.
Okay, no. I said close, lower than that.
You said not close, so that would be not like within like 10-ish is close.
Within 10 is close? I gotta write these rules down.
So like 76.
75.
Okay, sorry. So close is within 5. No, close is not close is 5.
Not okay. Hold on. Let's all right. We'll say not close is more than 10. More than 10. Yeah. Okay. Close
under 10.
Under 10. And then super close, we'll do like within 3.
And then super off is greater than 15.
Yeah. Super off. Buns boy, you're not even in the right ballpark. More than 15. Cool. My phone went off. I have to edit that out.
No way, dude. Keep it in. People will know you get bitches.
Yo, it's not. That's just not true. I started the episode off exclusively saying I do not get bitches. Basically. This just in: Orioles beat the Yankees. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Freaking Yankees, get out of here. Orioles magic. Sorry.
We really don't talk about the movie at all.
Anyway. We're only 10 minutes in, Dan. We have plenty of time.
10 minutes in, this episode's only going to be 30 minutes long. Kidding. All right, audience score. is not close. Actually, it's super off.
Oh,
so yeah, it's super like off from the critical
45.
Score. Wait. Quick. All right, how to do the mental math? It's just super off.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's 60.
Super close, but lower.
So Dan, I will end my life if you don't just tell me what this score is.
I'm trying to use our vernacular. It's 58.
Oh my... Damn it.
So 58% audience score. We don't have an audience review, but we have a critics consensus. The Voices gives Ryan Reynolds an opportunity to deliver a highlight reel performance and offers an off-kilter treat for fans of black comedies. What? Highlight reel performance? I don't know about that one, but he is, I guess, the prominent. He does a good job.
It's funny they call this so they said black comedy?
They specifically wrote black comedy.
Okay, so I'm going to assume dark and black mean the same thing, like a dark comedy. And
I hope so.
because this is very much like an, oh, I have dark humor kind of movie where like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's really that funny. Like it obviously is supposed to be funny, but like the premise is not really funny.
The premise isn't funny. And that's my main drawback now that we're a bit more into the movie. My main drawback with the movie is that it villainizes mental disorders, which is just a prominent issue in horror as a whole, kind of, because it's like giving your lead antagonist kind of a cop-out explanation as to why they are the way they are. And we're in the spoiler section, so if you want to watch the movie, I recommend it. It's fine. I rented it off Amazon, so that's how I watched it. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. But that's generally the issue. So I'm sure there's like New York Times and LA Times articles about this one too, where, you know, family spoke out like, you know, my child has schizophrenia and I just didn't like the way Ryan Reynolds was represented. So it's just, you're just always gonna have that. The thing that this movie did was give him a bit of a backstory as to why he acts specifically the way he does. And it's like, it's called, I'm gonna call it more of a dark comedy than horror comedy, because it's also just like really sad.
Yeah.
When they do give him his backstory.
Agreed.
The way that it goes about its comedy is kind of just, I like dark comedy.
So that's like the issue with Barbarian. And I say issue like on a double-edged sword. We talked about this same exact problem when we talked about Barbarian, how they basically villainized someone who mother, whatever they're called in the movie. They cannot control this. Something that's, you know, they're not doing any of this stuff on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, well, it's on purpose, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Having trouble articulating. But if you want to hear our opinions on that, we go really deep into it. Listen to that episode. It's a great episode.
Barbarian is streaming on HBO Max, I believe.
So yeah.
You can go watch that movie.
Watch the movie, listen to our episode. You'll understand what we're talking about. But the reason Barbarian is better than this movie, for many things, but in this aspect, is that you can take that as a horror comedy, dark comedy, because without saying it, you're aware of why you should be sympathetic to the antagonist, who's mom. And it lets you know why without saying it, you know, like,
yeah, it ultimately turns her into a victim as well.
Right. And that's what these movies should do. Whereas, what is this movie even called? The Voices. Whereas the Voices, it tries to provide sympathy for him, but it almost uses Ryan Reynolds to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
When he's going through his inner monologues, because he's constantly self-reflective and aware of what he's doing, and then he does it again.
And again, and again, and again.
And you can't take sympathizing with the guy, trying to make people aware of, you know, mental illness and the struggles with mental illness, while also having him be fully self-aware
Yeah.
You know, it's, and purposefully, you know, neglecting his efforts to aid in his mental, you know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. there's nothing about this movie that like is ever, you know, comical. It's all, it all seems very, and it sucks because I know they, their intentions were good as usual, but it's very like, it's all just dark. I don't, I struggle to find the comedy in it often. Mm-hmm.
That's, and that, and that's the other issue with casting Ryan Reynolds specifically. Excuse me. We talked about this a little bit beforehand. Like, they make Ryan Reynolds his baby-faced pretty boy in this movie. And again, it's even, it's a little bit tougher even watching it from, like, I don't know if Gavin watched it from my POV, because this was 2014, 2015. I didn't watch this movie when it came out, but I watched Deadpool and Deadpool 2 when they came out, and I'm going to go watch Deadpool 3 when that comes out. So retrospectively, it's harder to put him in this movie and be like okay with it, thinking that way. As well, you know, we both really like soccer. He owns a whole soccer club, football club, however you, you know. I know we have an English listener, I'm sure of it. So it's tough. And again, and like that same issue was extremely prominent in Amityville, which again, I touched on briefly. Like this movie, putting him in horror comedy is a bit better. Amityville Horror tried to make him, like, scary and made him grow out a beard, and it just doesn't work for him.
Yeah.
He tries to be the scary father figure. Doesn't work for Ryan. Sorry. But this is 2014, 2015. I don't know. I'm not a huge, like, I can just rattle off actors. So I don't know who a better cast for this is. Like, right now, in my head, like, honestly, I feel like if they wanted to remake it, I say this, but again, I swear I know more actors. I feel like Bill Skarsgård is almost a good typecast for this because Pennywise is a clown, so he's kind of goofy. And like Penny, he was in Barbarian. So I feel like he could have done this pretty well. Gavin mentioned it and he confirmed it. Ryan Reynolds does voice, he has two pets in the movie, and that's basically his like angel and devil, basically, or what they play as. And so he voices both of them. And to be fair, credit to Ryan, he gives them two unique voices and two unique personalities. So in general, yeah, Ryan Reynolds, stellar performance in the movie as a whole. But again, it's Ryan Reynolds, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that's Deadpool. It's hard to see him anything else.
I just...
Deadpool and owner of Wrexham.
Yeah. I just don't think... Like, I think everybody can agree Ryan Reynolds is a great actor. But he's very much, you know, he's a type actor. Mm-hmm. And this movie just didn't suit his style. He's very much a Marvel actor, where he can be
Marvel pretty boy protagonist.
Right. He can be serious, but then he's going to goof a couple times. He can, you know, I think he was in RIPD, where he basically plays Ryan Reynolds in every movie he's in. So when you put him in a movie where he has to actually be someone else, it's very hard for me to distance him from himself in this movie. But he also just, it might just be me tricking myself into not being able to distance himself from his other movies. Because like you said, he's had so many other movies since this one came out, and I didn't watch this one when it came out.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't, I can't think of somebody who could do it better, but I know that he's not the one for this role.
Yeah. And just to touch on all our interests at once, you know, it's like he's kind of like just a face in Hollywood. And then movies like this try to give him like heel turns. And it's one of those things where like the fans would be like, why are you doing this? He can't be a heel.
This isn't his gimmick.
it's tough. Because there are moments again where he tries to be like, they make him violent and they make him dangerous and he's like screaming and yelling and he gets angry and it's like, oh, Ryan, come on, buddy. It's just not as, you don't take it as serious because it's like, all right, well, when's the next goof, you know?
Yeah.
When's he gonna crack a joke during the scene?
And a lot of the moments that were meant to make you feel empathetic towards him were just cringe inducing, which I know is not what they were going for.
Yeah. And it might be a tad because of the comedy aspect, but at the same time, it's like, ooh. There's one moment in particular where I thought this movie could have gone one of two ways, and I'm more interested in seeing how it goes the other way, but we'll get to that when we get to it. There's not much to talk about in the opening. To begin with, like, when we meet him and his two pets, like, they are voices to him. We don't know that it's his pet talking immediately. You mm-hmm. could possibly think it's a roommate. So they hide it a little bit. I don't remember when they do the reveal exactly within the movie. But he's a factory worker. You know, it doesn't really, what he does specifically, I can't figure out, but like,
he like ships and stocks and stuff. Yeah. I think they said.
So simple tasks. And like I said, they don't confirm schizophrenia out and out, but like, that's what it is. He is a schizophrenic. I'm not, again, we don't do like intensive research around here. We don't get paid enough to do so yet. But I do know like some mild things on schizophrenia. I took Psych 101 like 3 different times. So beast. I know, and AP Psych in high school. I know minimal on it as a whole.
He had an Oedipus complex.
No. No.
But the reverse one? He wanted to kiss his dad?
I know that the general issue with schizophrenia that people have is that schizophrenics aren't typically very violent in general. And again, they're just like ostracizing and really making a specific stereotype of schizophrenia a problem, which again is the problem at whole. But when you look past that, it's like, I couldn't find exact statistics because I didn't go too hard into it, but it's like less than 10% or about 10% of schizophrenics are truly violent. But even then, they're not necessarily violent as in homicidal. They're just like, they tend to be more violent, but that could be anything from just like outbursts and like yelling, screaming, or like just, I don't know, hitting people. I don't know. Not necessarily homicidal, though. Like, I don't want to say rarely, but, like, it doesn't lend itself to that outcome typically. So, if you want to view this as, like, a...
trying to draw, caricature.
Yeah. Or, like, the way you spin these kinds of movies is that they're trying to bring more attention to the disease. But it never opens with, like, a... never opens like a PSA. Like, hey... people aren't really like this.
Yeah, unfortunately, this movie definitely had no intention of anything like that. You'd like to think it did, but I think that this was just somebody's brainchild, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so, because we never really talk... I'm trying to get less into that, and I think we've gotten better with it. You know, we're approaching a year in July. In July, Bloody Spork will have existed for a year. So... as opposed to going through plot beat by beat, I kind of want to just talk about it more chronologically. So it gives us Ryan Reynolds' backstory towards the end of the movie. His name's Jerry. I'm probably just going to call him Ryan Reynolds the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck Jerry is.
And so what had happened is that his mom suffered from a similar issue, and his dad was super violent about it. And he was like, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, yada, yada, yada. Just, this is like the harrowing part of the most depressing, upsetting, and darkest part of the movie is his backstory. His mother dealt with a similar issue. His mother killed his father, I believe. And then she's like in bed and is like, the cops are here. You got to do something about it, Jerry. And he ends up killing her as a kid, basically. Like a mercy kill, almost. Yeah. And when he ends up getting a date in this movie, they hit a deer and he like mercy kills the deer, and she's like, what the fuck?
And say the joke he said too.
I remember
So the reason she got so freaked out, I mean, honestly, if you hit a deer, that's one reason to freak out. Then the guy takes out a knife and kills it in front of you. I can understand why that'd be a little weird, but what made it worse was right before they hit the deer, he's telling a joke. He says, all right, you like trivia? Here's some trivia for you. There are 4 angels named in the Bible. 3 of them are, it's like, I don't even know, Gabriel, Matthew, and something else. I don't know.
You're gonna upset so many people. Come on, dude.
They can, if you know, I mean, sweet, whatever, fuck you, it's a lamp. And then he's like, what's the 4th angel? And she's like, oh, I don't know. What does she guess, Freddy or something? I don't know.
I don't even know if she puts in a guess.
So he's,
yeah,
right before he hits the deer, he goes, you're just forgetting that he is an angel. Then he hits the deer, they spin out. There's a dead deer in the car. He slits its throat. And then he looks at her and goes, Lucifer is the last one. So obviously she's going to get out and like scream because that's terrifying.
Yeah, really.
I don't blame her one second for that. Lucifer is the last
one. It's not actually funny. I'm laughing more than I should. But
like, that's one of those things where I, like, he did that and I was like, oh God, that is so like uncomfortable. I didn't laugh. I was just this is so weird.
And to give that, to paint the character dynamic, there's really just a core, it's really the Ryan Reynolds show, the more I think about it. Like, that's all this movie is like 90% him. The biggest supporting cast are Anna Kendricks, which is Anna Kendricks, Gemma Arterton, and the other is Ella Smith. And they're basically three co-workers of him at the factory. And they work upstairs in, like, the office, basically. And so, he's infatuated with Gemma's character. Anna Kendrick is infatuated with him. Ella Smith just works there. Whatever, you know? And so, he's like, he really wants to go on a date with Gemma. Gemma stands him up one time. And then, Gemma stands him up to do a girls' night. But then she gets caught in the rain. Her car can't start. He ends up finding her. And he's like, do you want a ride? Or, like, whatever. And she's like, no, we can do that date now. And then, so as they're on the way to the date, hit the deer, whatever. What is it that causes her to get out of the car? So, is it because he kills the deer?
Because he kills the deer and then blood says, all over her. Says the joke while she's covered in blood. So she gets out and starts running. And he gets out to chase her, but he brings the knife.
And he brings the knife and he's just holding it by his side the entire time.
Right. And then runs into her or something.
Yeah.
He runs into her and like accidentally stabs her.
Yeah.
So like during all of this, you're thinking to yourself, oh man, I really do kind of feel bad for this guy. And then he starts doing the, you know, flashback to his backstory where he's like mercy killing her because he just wounded her terminally. So then he's like, I see you're suffering, I'll help you. And then he kills her, and you're like, okay, fine. And then he stabs her 1,000 more times for no reason. You're like, oh, I don't know if I feel bad anymore.
Yeah, they build up the sympathy basically around the office because, like I said, he got stood up. He's like clearly over-interested in her, and she doesn't do anything. Like, she doesn't show any interest back. He finally works himself up to ask her out, then got stood up. And so, tries to build up sympathy, but then instantly goes back on it. So it was like, why did you give us or try to give us the sympathy? Anyway, I almost feel it would have been more effective if they could have incorporated his backstory earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's not even till like 70% through that we learn why he is the way he is. And again, all the final flashback kind of just gives context as to why he does the mercy killing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really justify his overall violence, I should say.
Also,
like, again, taking the knife out didn't make any sense.
What would have made sense a little more is, like, when they hit the deer, if the antlers, like, went into her like neck
incidentally, yeah,
right, and then he did the mercy kill. Then I'd have been like, how unlucky is this guy? Because like, and you can even make a case to like, if this girl is sitting here suffering with a antler in her esophagus, there's no saving that. So you're kind of like, man, you can almost justify why he would do that, just to like help her a little bit. But what he did, there was no justifying anything he did in the movie.
I think it was she tripped, and he also tripped in the same spot, and then that's when he accidentally stabs her.
But, like, he stabbed her in, like, the gut.
Yeah, no, I know.
So, like, he didn't need to just kill her.
But honestly, what Gavin just said, get Gavin to Hollywood. He just made the voices, like, two times better.
Dan, when you finish college and you move out there, bro, you need any screenwriting done, just let me know. I got you.
It's true. I honestly, I really like that. Had it been more incidental how she was injured, you make everything a bit more like, you truly feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But the way they went about it was a bit tough. Like, the car crash in and of itself, it wasn't enough because they weren't seriously affected by it by any means. Regardless, he then, again, the sympathy is all thrown out the window. because he decapitates her and keeps her head in his fridge, and then she becomes another one of his voices.
And then he just starts making her say things that she wouldn't say.
And it's odd. And so she's a voice, and then the cat again. So the cat is the devil voice, basically, the devil on his shoulder. His dog is his good guy voice. And so the entire time, the cat's just like, well, that was fun, right? You enjoyed that? Like, you want to do it again, right? But again, he's talking to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, no, I don't want to do that. And the entire time, he's ignoring his meds.
Yeah.
And the medicine is what removes the voices from his head. And so I understand, and I'm not entirely against the idea that he doesn't take his medicine, because, like, I've dealt with it. I've been prescribed things. And there are days where I'm just like, no, I don't want to take my medication. You're right. Correct, brain. You win this time. But this is a lot more different. And ultimately, he does it so he's never alone. Which, again, kind of that sympathy factor.
Yeah.
But it's just like, and again, this is, I guess, down to just general ignorance. Like, a schizophrenic who hears voices, even if they hear voices, I don't necessarily think it's as cut and dry as just one good voice, one bad voice, you know?
Also, I would be interested to see the statistics on how many schizophrenics want to continue hearing the voices.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand it from the concept of not wanting to be alone, but then this movie even ultimately remedies that with Anna Kendrick's character eventually. But because he's already done what he's done, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just...
And so,
yeah.
Basically, he gets back to the office. Him and Anna Kendrick's go out. It goes really, really well. He goes back to her place, I believe. They hook up. And so at that point, I'm like, oh, okay. And my honest to God, what I thought how the movie was going to go was that Anna Kendrick's was going to also be schizophrenic, but she just takes her medicine.
And I would have enjoyed that movie.
And then basically, and again, that almost makes it like horror rom-com almost, but I don't think it necessarily has to go that route. So my thought was like, she's also a schizophrenic. She just takes her medication, and then he like basically converts her, and then they become a murderous duo is what I honestly thought was going to happen. And like the movie ends with them basically Bonnie and Clyde-ing in their factory. And then they get like killed by the police, basically. That is truly how I thought the rest of the movie was going to go.
Or something similar, considering she is a psycho.
She is. She's a little crazy in different ways.
She went to his house after getting his address from the accounting files, and then picked his front door lock to get into his house.
After he said, don't do that, I know how to get into my house, I will handle it.
Yeah, it was just, you know, one of those moments where you're like, man, I know I'm supposed to like feel bad for you, but you are a complete moron.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that dumbness in horror movies that I don't really bang with too hard.
Yeah.
But she was ultimately just trying to do something nice for him because he had a bad day or something. I don't really remember the specifics. And so what I did like is what happens here is that Anna Kendrick's walks in and she's like immediately terrified. And so basically he cut up Gemma's character completely, packed away all the meat in bags all throughout his house. And his house is just disgusting. But when we're with Ryan by himself, his house is squeaky clean.
Which... is that even... That seems like beyond...
That seems like next level delusion. Like, I understand buying into your own lie, but again, we're not trying to be ignorant, we just want to know...
Yeah, I just should have don't know. I just don't know.
It's like, it just doesn't seem feasible that all happens because of schizophrenia.
Because, like, I understand hallucinations, but this is alternate reality.
Yeah, this is... Like... way past that.
This he is completely deleting items from his mind. Like, he doesn't see the stack of bloody boxes, and he doesn't see the pizza boxes that he's got all over his house. He doesn't see the cat shit on the ground. Like, but I also feel like this is a trope that gets portrayed frequently, almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where just like crippling mental disorder,
right?
Means you can't do anything else. But he's a working member in society. He does his job well. You know, he keeps his work suit clean. So I don't understand why there's a no continuity with his own home life.
And that's the other thing that I keep saying. Like he is so conscious of everything he's doing, but then you flash to real life Vision, and he's not. It's kind of confusing almost. Mm-hmm. But like I understand because there's, you know, take somebody that's depressed. One of the most common things you'll see on the internet. Oh, you didn't clean your room. But, you know, that kind of stuff where you're like, okay, yeah. I get it. So I understand how, you know, messy house, dealing with things. I get it. But the fact that it's so, you know.
So messy.
Yeah.
And like, he had the right, like, train of thought to cut up the body to deal with it, but then doesn't do anything with it. Like,
is that the understand. Right train of thought, Dan? That's the way to do it.
Wait.
You want to elaborate on that, Dan?
Somebody, Gavin, mentioned like it's similar to Dexter in a sense, right? Because that's how Dexter dealt with his bodies.
Oh,
but
God.
Then he dumps them, and Dexter's a fucking blood splatter analyst for a crime, like whatever. So obviously, there's a huge difference between his character and Ryan Reynolds' character here. So Ryan Reynolds had the right idea with like cutting up the body because he clearly wanted to deal with it. He kept the severed head. Why would he keep anything else at all? That doesn't make sense to me.
But also, like, he put all of the body parts in Tupperware.
Yeah.
But then he just put the head raw dogged in the fridge. Like, he just, the gap in thought is just so, it's not consistent at all. Which, I mean, I guess if you're schizophrenic, your thought processes wouldn't be consistent. Like, hypothetically, I don't know much about it, but, you know, based on this movie, if this movie was my only experience with schizophrenia, then this is how I would interpret it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the issue. That is the issue. And so, like, give me a scene or something that he still thinks a little bit, and he's like, I need to get, like, a huge meat freezer, basically. And then he just throws it all in there. I don't know.
Well, you know, what I forgot? The scene where he is on his medicine. And he's, you know, when you see like a movie of somebody who got their drink spiked, they start going blurry and like can't see anything. Yeah. He had that vision, but of real life. Mm-hmm. Like his surroundings were all blurry, but he could finally see the shit on the ground and the boxes and the blood.
But he hated it.
But it was almost like, it was the movie was trying to portray that his schizophrenic reality was like real life.
Better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Almost like better, because when he was on the drugs, he was seeing actual reality, but they were making it look like
awful.
The wrong thing to want, you know, like I feel like it's just not sending the right message.
Not at all. And that's the issue, just like at its core. If you don't turn your brain off and just watch the movie, which is, that's what we're here for. You know, that's what we're doing it for you. It romanticizes the idea that you should just ignore your medication.
That's a good way to put it. Yep.
Everything will be better if you just ignore your medication. Generally speaking, not a good idea to spread, which is why at this point, I'm only like 2% more interested in the 2020 version. Cause like, do they do anything different? Because I know it's not horror comedy, so it's like, how much more serious are they taking mental illness in a 2022 or a 2020 movie where in all, as a whole, like globally, we've decided to become more aware and it's a more prevalent factor in today's society than it was 10 years ago, basically.
Let's, as much as I enjoyed deep diving in movies, let's switch the topic up real quick because we've been talking about the schizophrenia the whole time. What was the undertones with his family regarding them being German and fleeing Berlin? I'm just saying, they showed a scene where he was getting carried through crowd surfed through a crowd, and his dad was in a military uniform, and they were getting on a train to leave Germany. And they kept bringing it up.
I don't...
Seemed like, a little weird. Subplot. Subplot. I don't know what that was about.
Because I think it was his mom was a German immigrant.
Or well, they both were, but the guy was his stepdad.
Oh, right.
They never said what happened to his real dad. They never said why they were leaving Germany. But he was a military guy.
Weird.
Super strange.
There's a weird specific details to include. Because it's not like it uses that as justification for why she is the way she is, I don't believe.
And I was half expecting them to be like, I don't know if they were going to go with the route of his stepfather was a Nazi bad killer guy, so he has that like ingrained in his head type of deal. I don't know if they were going to like go that route, so they had it, but then like halfway through, like, wait a minute, we don't want to take that turn.
Because it seems just, like there was like a couple of different writers on this, and they maybe. All weren't like 100% all in on the same kind of idea. So we got like a few strokes from this person, a few lines from this guy, and then like
just so many details that just serve no purpose, but they like were recurring,
super specific.
Yeah,
that too. Yeah,
it's just super weird.
Yeah, and so ultimately, what is it? He like pushes Anna Kendrick's character, and she ends up. Like hitting a part of her spine that paralyzes her from the neck down. And then he does the same thing to her, which again,
you could've...
now we're past the point of sympathy because he pushed her and then also mercy killed her.
But also like
beheaded her.
You can like, if she broke her neck, like she could have been repaired.
True.
She didn't need to be killed.
And, so part of it, what had happened was when he killed Gemma's character, she became another negative voice in his head. And so she was like, I need a friend. Please give me a friend. And at this point, now it's 2-1 of two bad versus one good. So naturally, he leans into the bad. He ends up killing Anna Kendrick's character. So now we got two beheaded people in his fridge just yapping it up whenever he opens the fridge. And he's like, perfect. But then the other co-worker, Ella Smith, is like, ooh, you know, I know Anna was with Ryan last night, so let me go check his house.
Let me go to the address that I stole.
yeah, great idea. Let me not do anything else besides investigate it myself.
Classic.
Perfect. And I think around this time is when he starts getting heat, like they end up, we see a news report. Basically, he wasn't 100% perfect on his first kill, and they find a shoe and are able to piece together that she has been brutally murdered, and they have enough evidence to basically start the investigation. That, in and of itself, I feel like, again, with a 2023 eye, a lot of people would just be like, ooh, call the cops right away. Not the third coworker. She just ends up also getting killed. Pretty quickly. She actually just shows up and then is immediately dead, basically.
Yeah.
So now he's gone, like, full-blown killer out, basically.
Also, that news broadcast, I'm assuming, was supposed to be a joke.
Yeah.
It just missed so hard. When they were like, male, 20 to 30, doesn't fit in. I was like, okay, firstly, how did you come up with that?
That's he doesn't generic. Fit in? Like, yeah, it's like...
Secondly... Like, I get it. You're trying to say you have him pinpointed, but then you didn't solve the crime for, like, weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. I know, like, crime profilers do exist. You know, I watch Criminal Minds, thank you. I don't know how they could have specifically gathered those details just from a missing shoe. I think that she might have been, like, remains of her body left behind at the scene, but I don't really remember. So I guess they gather all that information just from that. I believe it to an extent, the lengths of which I don't know, but to an extent, for sure. I know profilers are good at their job. Either way, they are onto him. They do start investigating. And again, we get two more co-workers that eventually come and investigate. And I think they're supposed to be comedic relief. They are a little bit. They're a little funny. So like the two guys that also work in the office like pull up on his house and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna go and investigate. Are you gonna come with?" He's like, "No." Fair. Yeah. He's like, "Nice. Thank you. I'm glad you came." So like sort of funny. I don't know, you know, not a lot of comedy that sticks out a lot.
Yeah.
And then the only other character of general relevance is his psychologist, I think, or I don't know.
He calls her his psychotherapist.
That's what it is. And she, I believe she's state, like, assigned to him by the state because of, like, basically how he was found as a kid. Because he did kill his mom. Like, he did.
Yeah.
There was no covering that up. So, he has this psychotherapist, basically, and she's like, "Hey, man, take your med." She knows that he doesn't take his medicine. And again, in reality, the first time, maybe even by the second time, your patient admits, "Okay, I'm still not taking my medicine," you probably just get, like, not locked up, but, you know, dealt with then. The second time around, there's no like, "Ooh, 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out."
Yeah, I feel like
extremely serious.
Yeah, I feel like mentally ill murderer shouldn't, you know, be like, "Oh, you tricked me," but please take him. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, God, he said he would. Please. He said he would, guys. He said he would.
He said he would. I believe him. And like, I think there's at least 2 meetings where she's like, "Are you taking your pills?" And he's still like, "No, I'm not actually." And then she's like, "Well, could you please?" And he's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What? You're not very good at your job, lady."
Yeah, but, that's for sure.
You know, and so eventually the 2 coworkers find their other coworkers' cars. Jerry Ryan had the right train of thought again to move their cars and hide them. But again, didn't want to deal with the mountains of meat that he's just packing and stowing away in his throughout his house.
Yeah.
So again, still not really sure, yeah, like how he like 60% covers up the murders, but doesn't 40% all the way.
Yeah. Odd. I don't understand.
Again, I don't know. Other than Gavin's rewrite, I don't know what else you rewrite if you commit to this plot. But there's an even better movie here. This is good, not great, not perfect by any means. Eventually, he ends up with, like, what, 12-plus cops that are like, "Come out, please." Again, I don't think you confirmed 3 murders to him. You're coming in with, like, SWAT, you know? This isn't just regular, your local police force coming out to deal with him. I think they had SWAT, actually, now that I think about it. But
I know this movie was supposed to be funny, but I really do feel like this movie needed to have a terrible ending. Like, not terrible as in bad. I mean, terrible, like,
tragic.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's not pleasant. The movie is not pleasant.
No, not at all.
It really needed, like, either he needed to go crazy and, like, kill more people, or, like, he needed to be, like, you know, for lack of, like, he needed to be, like, executed. You know, like, it needed to have a tragic ending. It just ended like neutrally.
It's tragic to an extent. So the cops are outside. He lives in a bowling alley, by the way, not a crucial detail. And he basically goes into the basement. Does he set it himself? He sets it on fire, or just naturally gets set on fire?
So when he's climbing down the AC duct, he accidentally kicks a gas line. And then
that's right.
They threw like some tear gas or something in, and I guess like the spark from the canister ignited? Is that ignited? What is the
ignited.
Caused it to blow up.
Whew, not English majors, we're missing John, sorry. But because that's a point we should have mentioned, by the way. He goes to his psychotherapist one last time, admits to all the murders to her, and then is like, "Well, I can't let you go now. You know the truth."
Yeah, he just kidnapped her.
Because she like started to reach for her phone to call 911. And then, yeah, just kidnaps her. He like takes her out to a field, and like that's where she actually does her job well, is in basically like it's now fight or flight mode. And at that point, she gives her, because he finally asks, he's like, why am I the way that I am, or something like that. I think that's when we get our backstory drop. I don't remember. Like, the last flashback, I could be wrong. I just remember when she spoke that time, I was like, you know, if you were good at your job from the start, maybe we avoid all of this. Yeah. I think her issue and the way they portray her character is that, because I'm assuming it's the same psychotherapist from when he was a kid, basically. And if that's what you're going with, fair. But, like, she becomes too much of a friend, mm-hmm. then, as opposed to doing her job with a child who killed his mother.
Yeah. She's like, hey, take it easy, you know, relaxed. We're chill over here. Yeah. No need to freak out. Just take your meds or I'm sending you back to the hole.
Yeah, really. Like, you know, me and my therapist were buddy-buddy, but never just friends. It's weird. Odd way of making the odd way of things happening.
And then when the cops get her, she's like, don't hurt him. He needs help. And I'm like, I mean, he killed three people.
Four, technically. Like, come on. What do you mean?
And he's been getting help for 20 years. I mean, I don't want to sound insensitive, but at what point?
At what point should he have just been, you know, in an institution, basically? Yeah.
At what point is your level of help not enough?
And, like, cool, you know. And to an extent, you know, they made him a working member of society. So I suppose that's worth something. But at the same time, yeah, what Gavin said. Like, again, once he... because they don't give us... like, they give us some flashbacks, but they don't give us enough background information. It's like, was he taking his pills for some extent up to this? Why did he stop taking his pills?
We need we need to bring back aversion therapy. Where they just play voices, and then every time he hears a voice, from now on he throws up. And then he'll never hear a voice again from anyone.
Like, I don't think there is a specific inciting incident as to why he would have stopped taking his medication.
I think
if he was never taking it, then he should have never been released to society, technically, I would assume. I don't know. Either way, his building catches on fire, and then he just, like, lays down in the basement of his building, essentially. And the movie insinuates that he is dead because his two voices are like, I don't think he's here anymore, or something like that. And then the dog's like, well, see you later.
There's a lot of interesting things with this. Like, again, disclaimer, me and Dan don't know the answer to these questions. But, like, does he not have an equivalent of a probation officer that checks up on him? That I'm assuming, I know it has to be confidential, but in the case of a criminal, that his therapist would have to relay information. Like, in between this visit and this visit, he hasn't taken his medicine. If he still hasn't by next visit, you can go see him. Or, you know, like, I feel like there's some nuances.
Yeah, there's a certain layer of, like, base information that I feel like the general public is aware of that should be or should have been addressed at least a little bit, and then it kind of makes everything, quality of life changes to this movie that could have been made. Like, super minor details that could have, and I specifically can't remember, but I don't even think there's, like, lines in passing of, like, what Gavin is explaining right now. And even that would have been extremely beneficial to the movie as a whole.
Or, like, this might just be me, you know, not understanding how it works, but, like, he got convicted of killing his mom. How can he have pets? Because in my head, if somebody can... that, like, your parents should be the two people you love the most in the world for the most part, you know? Mm-hmm. And he killed one. Now, mind you, it was out of love that we're meant to believe. But, like, in that same instance, they let him have pets that you're supposed to love and care for. That seems a little bit contradictory to me.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
Again, with what Gavin said, there's not enough information given as to why he's just allowed to be a normal member of society. Because ultimately, kid or not, you know, schizophrenic or not, he still murdered a person. Mercy killing or not. Murdered
an individual. So I know that people that get convicted of murder they serve their time, and then they're released. People that have mental illness, they go to an institution, they get help, then they get released. But when you combine the two, I feel like there needs to be a higher level of, at least for some amount of time. I don't know if maybe he was on great behavior for 20 years, so they were like, okay, we can just relax on him. But it just seems like such a crazy scenario for someone to even be in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we could this episode could really be like 2 hours long, honestly.
Yeah, just talking about
just speaking on legal specifics and everything, and that. Ultimately, it's a horror comedy, so it's never.
I need answers.
But yes, I think if you give us a like 10 minute, you already gave us like 3 flashback scenes. Just give us like a flashback scene to him in court as a child, basically. Tell us specifically what happened post murder. Have that flashback be dropped in earlier. And then I think you solve a lot of these questions we have right now.
I need to see
science. And probably science, a lot that people have in general.
I need to see science and Kirk signing some papers that say he can be out here.
So, good movie at its core when you just watch it and turn your brain off and you laugh at, haha, Ryan Reynolds does 3 voices. Haha, Ryan Reynolds is funny. Haha, you know, whatever. But, you know, when you tune into Bloody Spork and you get into some specifics, yikes.
Oh, man. When you want to get into the real specifics and talk about just cringe, the amount of time that he has the cat say, is that the bitch you're fucking? I'm sorry. Like, grow up. Like, I don't know who you think is watching this movie, but...
he makes the cat, like, what, like an Irishman? Like a drunk, angry Irishman voice, basically?
He's so dumb.
And then he gives the dog, like, this dopey...
like Eeyore voice.
Which, the dog voice I'm fine with. The cat voice, I was like, why is this the one you went with?
And I guess we'll give some context. Jerry, Ryan Reynolds, he is a soft-spoken, you know, kind of awkward individual. So I can understand why the cat, who is meant to be his bad side, just cusses insanely, like, horribly. I get it. Yeah. It's his evil, whatever. I don't care.
And again, it's not that cut and dry. I feel like to give it a little bit more oomph, you let the cat and the dog kind of like slip into each other almost. Like you have instances where the cat is like, well, maybe you shouldn't do this, and the dog's like, nah, fuck it.
Well, I mean, by the end, the dog was like, remember when I said you were a good guy? It back. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they kind of did that, but we needed more. So I get what you're saying. Yeah. It needed to happen.
And again, and the movie ends with the cat and the dog just in a white space. There's no heaven or hell specifically given to Ryan Reynolds' character. And then they part ways and then the movie ends.
Yeah. Speaking of, there's a bunch of lines where he's like, do you believe in God? Why is God doing this to me? Like, this movie, it's just a super uncomfortable and... just not.
Maybe that's why, just now that you said that, maybe that's why they give us the German details, is like heavy faith, basically. I feel like maybe something in European, I don't know, again, Germany as a whole, I don't know, but like I would assume super like Christian in thought. Maybe that's the context they're trying to give us with the German details.
And then Jesus is in the credits dancing. This movie just makes no fucking sense at all.
Out of 6.
Out of 6. I feel like it's worse than the last movie I watched. Mm-hmm. But, like, not.
Yeah.
I feel like the last couple movies we watched, I gave them, like, 2s and 2.5s. But I think this is another one.
I think in all complete honesty, before we talked about it at lengths and before I thought about it outright... like 3.5, 4 pretty easily, like just like base layer, like added as it is. Now that we've talked at length about it and there's all these like minor discrepancies and like loopholes and like what they should have done, how this, like, even the detail you mentioned about the deer impaling her instead would have made this movie a whole point higher, honestly. But I probably like with the analytics involved, I'm gonna say like 2.5 as well.
Yeah, I think I'm not quite as high as you, but I think prior to discussion, I was at like a 3, 3.5. But I think I'm down at a 2. after a little bit of realization.
But I'll tell you right now, Amityville Horror starring Ryan Reynolds, 0.5. So, don't ask us to review it.
What we got next, Dan?
We will. John and I next week, couldn't tell you.
Well.
No, I don't even know if I've like asked him recently.
When does that movie with Nicolas Cage come out? Reynolds or something? Reginald?
I have no fucking
clue. Where Nicolas Cage plays Dracula?
I think that's later in the year. Let me see, though.
I think it's April.
One second. Oh, man. I will say, you know what movie comes out April 21st?
Say it.
Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. That comes out the 21st. That'll be a Gavin week. So,
hell,
probably yeah. That movie. Just saying. Is that supposed to be a sequel to the 2013 Evil Dead?
No. So, apparently... because I am the Evil Dead expert of the Bloody Spork. So Evil Dead is apparently separate from Evil Dead 2.
Right.
Which is separate from Evil Dead 2013. No, Army of Darkness is a direct sequel to Evil Dead 2.
Okay, that's their own
yes.
plot line, basically.
Yep. And then Ash versus Evil Dead is... in line with Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. And then Evil Dead 2023 is... or what is it called? Evil Dead Rise?
Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, yeah, that is going to be its own story. However, they're all in the same universe.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
So there is theory that at one point, Mia from Evil Dead 2013, Ash from Evil Dead, and then whoever the main character is from Evil Dead Rise... are, mm-hmm. there's talk that people want to see all three of them in one movie.
Okay. So you think Bruce Campbell makes an appearance in this movie?
I don't think he does. He wasn't in 2013.
No. That's true. I forgot about that. Unfortunate.
I know. It is a bummer.
There's no spoilers listed, but I like looked up Evil Dead Rise release date just to see it. So far, pretty highly regarded.
It's got like a 96, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it was showed at it was shown in March.
Dude, I'm literally going to throw up and cry while watching this movie. I heard, and just from watching the trailer, it is going to be so unbelievably scary and disgusting.
Yep, it's going to be a tough ass watch. But that's probably that week's episode. Honestly,
hell,
I could not
yeah.
tell you what next. I can't tell you what next week episode is because me and John haven't talked about it. But that is The Voices 2015. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Bloody Spork. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Bloody Spork Pod. And if you want to email us further movie suggestions and or Bloody Spork topics, you can email us at bloodysporkpod@gmail.com. If you're still here listening, we briefly talked about it before the episode. We're trying to think of like a longer movie series that we could cover over the summer, basically. I suggested Paranormal Activity and the Scream series. If there's any that you could think of outside of that, if you're still listening, let us know.
Wrong I'll turn. Probably...
that was another suggestion that I wasn't going to bring up myself, personally.
Dan, it's you have to do it. It's your family heritage.
Anyways, I will probably kick off next week's episode with that summer announcement. So, regardless, you people will hear me. That's going to do it from Dan and I guess is West Virginia heritage.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Dan. I said Dan twice. Whatever.
I'm Gavin. Gavin.
Go fuck yourself. Have a great day, Sporkies.
Bye, Sporkies.